Our scripture reading for tonight's lesson is taken from Psalm number 87. Psalm number 87 and verse 1. A psalm or song for the sons of Korah. His foundation is in the holy mountains. We're glad that you are here again this evening. Hope you've enjoyed the day as much as you possibly could. Thank you for seeing fit to come back out a second time tonight as we worship God in truth and in spirit. Tonight we're going to look at Psalm number 87, which I've titled The City of God. Psalm 87 and the City of God. Keep in mind that each psalm is independent. It stands alone. It does not build off of the one in front of it. It does not lead you in the one after it. It is its own document. Now here we are in the middle of a group of psalms that are designed or written to the sons of Korah. Now who was Korah? Worked with David. They were the singers. If you remember, Korah was the one in the book of Numbers that the ground actually swallowed Korah up. And so then the descendants of Korah came to be known as people that worked in the temple and worked in the worship service of the Lord, if you will. And so this is kind of written for that specific group of people, but we can still learn from it. And it says it is a psalm or a song. Well, it makes you wonder, because a psalm is written for the voice, written to be sung and not to be played. So then what does verse number 7 mean when it says, as well the singers as the players on the instrument shall be there? What's it mean? Well, the New American Standard said those who sing, as well as those who play the flutes. And it has a footnote there of dance. The American Standard of 1901 says, they that sing as well as they that dance. And the English Standard says the singers and the dancers alike. Well, what does this mean? I'm not 100% certain on this. But I'll tell you what I do know. There is something joyful that's going to accompany this psalm, because this is a joyful psalm. So instead of trying to get bogged down on that one phrase, let's look and see what it actually says. This is a psalm about Jerusalem, Zion, as we like to sing in our songs, and talks about in verse 2, what is Zion? Zion is the hill on which the city stood. If you think about it, cities are important in the ancient world. We read of Abraham, he's from the Ur of the Chaldees, and that was a city that was well known. We know of Damascus, we know of Nineveh. Those were great cities, especially in the Old Testament, that we learn about. And, you know, when we get to the time of Isaiah, when we get to the time of Daniel, we talk about the Babylonian Empire, but Babylon was just a city. And then the people of Babylon ruled a whole bunch of people. We get to the Roman Empire, was ruled by one city, and that's Rome. Cities are very important. Helps us understand the importance of Jerusalem, of ancient Israel, the city of their king and their temple, the cultural, religious, and the political center of the nation. Jerusalem, that's where everything goes back to. If you were a Jew and this was being written to, Jerusalem is your place. And you don't mess with Jerusalem, because they take pride in that great city. But may I also suggest it's not just talking about physical Jerusalem, but the spiritual Jerusalem as well. And you can really see that if you read the psalm and then jump forward to the New Testament, look back at the psalm. It kind of really helps you understand that. Because verse 3 talks about glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. So we see that where the psalmist here was looking forward to that new city that we have today. There's a man by the name of John Newton, and you may recall his story. There's a great story. He wrote Amazing Grace. He wrote some other stuff as well. He wrote a song that's called Glorious Things. And he gets the song from this psalm. And there are three verses to that song. In verse 1, he gets from verses 1, 2, and 3. He says, glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God. He whose words cannot be broken formed thee for his own abode. On the rock of ages founded, who can shake thy sure repose? With salvation's wall surrounded, thou mayest smite all thy foes. Talking about Zion's gates and Zion walls, verses 1 through 3. The second verse of the song, he takes from verse 7, talks about the joyful fountains, and he says, see the streams of living water springing from eternal love, Well, supply thy sons and daughters, and all fear of want remove. Who can faint with while such a river ever flows, their thirst to see? Grace which the Lord the giver never fails from age to age. And in his third verse, he gets from 4, 5, and 6, talks about the blessedness of having there a Savior born. He says, Savior, if of Zion city I through grace a member am, let the world deride or pity, I will glory in thy name. Fading is the worldly pleasures, all his boasted pomp and show, solid joys and lasting treasure, none but Zion's children know. So he was thankful that Jesus Christ came from here, that the lineage carried through. We need to be thankful as well. What do we know about Jerusalem? Well, in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 2 talks about how the word of the Lord is going to come from Jerusalem. And if you jump ahead to the book of Acts chapter 2, you see it fulfilled on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem. So we see that there are a lot of things about Jerusalem. Galatians talks about it. Hebrews talks about it. And Revelation 21 talks a lot about John as he sees this new Jerusalem or heaven. Let's look at our psalm this evening because there are two sections. We're going to talk about the city, verses 1, 2, and 3. And we're going to talk about the citizens, verses 4, 5, and 6. Verse 1. His foundation is in the holy mountain. Physical Jerusalem, it was upon a mountain. It's a mountain fortress. We think that mountains, especially in biblical time, mountains give strength. Because if you are going to attack a city on a mountain, you have to get all your forces up that steep mountain. And then you have to be willing to fight people after you're tired of climbing. We also think of mountains being beautiful as we look over to Short Mountain. We like to go to the Smoky Mountains. And why? We like to look at the mountain because it's pretty. We think of mountains as security. You're not going to have too many people try to break into your house if you live at the top of a mountain. Because they don't have enough willpower to get there. Well, we see here, and that's what he's talking about. That's physical Jerusalem, but that's spiritual Jerusalem. Matthew 5:14 says, a city set on a hill. That's what we are to be as Christians. And it has sure foundations. Hebrews 12:28 says, a kingdom that cannot be moved. I don't know if you've ever tried lately. You can't move Short Mountain if you've tried. You can't move a mountain. They're there for a reason. They're big, and they're really hard to move. So that's a secure foundation. Number two, the Lord loved the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Well, gates, what do we think about it? It's a walled city, and we enter in through the gates. You couldn't go over the walls. They were so high and so thick, you couldn't do that. You'd have to go in. When we get to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 12, when John sees that new city, he sees gates on all sides of heaven, and he says they're open to all the world. If you wanted to go into Jerusalem, there were, I think, 6 or 8 gates. And you had to be qualified to enter in that certain gate. And if you weren't allowed to enter in that gate, they wouldn't let you in the city. But when John sees the new heaven, he says, I see all gates everywhere, and they're open to everyone. That's that new Jerusalem. We see verse 25, Revelation 21, says they're not shut up all day, and there is no night there. So everybody gets to go. It's an open invitation to all who come to heavenly Jerusalem if you meet the qualifications. Verse 3, we talked about glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. And then we have that pause as we switch to verse 2 of the song. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre and Ethiopia. This man was born there. Well, he says this man was born there. Talking about the place. A birth and an important king. We think about, for instance, Saul of Tarsus, later became the Apostle Paul. He was born a Roman citizen. He was born and had all this great pedigree. Here he's talking about someone that is born in Jerusalem, a citizen of Jerusalem, and worthy of honor. And he says, born into the kingdom, and I'm going to tell it to the entire world. I'm going to tell all my neighbors. I know about this. Well, what about Rahab? Well, here, Rahab is more or less used as a slang word to mean Egypt. He says, I'm going to tell those from Egypt. Babylon, well, we know about them. Philistia, where the Philistines come from. Tyre, that's up at the top of the map when you look at Jerusalem. That's Gentile territory. Ethiopia, well, that's where we know the eunuch was from in Acts chapter 8. What is he saying here? I'm going to go tell all my Gentile friends. None of these are Jew cities. They're all Gentiles. He says, I'm going to go tell them about this special man that's born in this city, who? Jesus Christ. Better to be born a citizen of the city of God, citizen by birth of the kingdom of God. How do you get in there? John 3:3-5, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. How do you get into the kingdom of God? Get to obey the gospel, be baptized for the remission of sins. With the gospel, the peoples of all these places are invited as they're born again. Let's look at verse number 6. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there in Silo. He talks about counting up the people, counting as a citizen of his city. He's going to take roll, more or less. 2 Timothy 2:19, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, that the Lord knoweth those that are his. God goes down that list, and he knows those that are Christians and those that are faithful. And we don't have to worry about that. Hebrews 12 and 23 as well, to the general assembly, to the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. And also tie that with Philippians 3 and verse 20, where it says our citizenship is in heaven. We're not living here on this earth, but we're living here on this earth to get it to that home in heaven. This is not our final destination. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. And we need to remind ourselves of that. We're looking forward to that new Jerusalem. We're working there. And then finally, verse 7, kind of the close of the joy of being a citizen of the city of God. Makes me think of Ephesians 1 and verse 3, where Paul tells those at Ephesus, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places are in Christ. Brethren, when I read Psalm 87, it makes me want to make sure that I'm going to get to see that big city. So how do you do that? You obey the gospel. You have to hear that it's true. Believe that it's true. Repent of your sins. Make that public confession. Then you're baptized. Go down that watery grave. Become a new creature alive in Christ. If you've not done that tonight, then why not do so? What more than this psalm would motivate you? Obey the gospel. If you have, keep going. If sin has entered into your life and literally will separate you from God, why not repent of those sins? Come back tonight and leave this building in a right relationship with the Father. Whatever your need is, if we can help you in any way at all, please let it be known while we stand and sing.